रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः. अरण्यकांड चैप्टर नंबर 31. रावणा हियर्स द न्यूज. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. Accompanied the Rakshasa, the sole survivor of the battle, fled hotfoot to Lanka, bowed himself before Ravana and said, Lord, Kar, Dushan, Trishuras and all the redoubtable armies of Janasthan have been destroyed in battle. I alone live to bring the news thanks to my ingenuity that made me take a woman form to escape the arrows of Rama. His piteous cries reddened all the more the eyes of Ravana that were like lurid, baleful fires. Who is it that has become tired of his life and has destroyed my beautiful Janasthan? Who casts himself in the fire of my wrath, unable to find refuge with all creation? Indra, Kuber, Yam or Vishnu, dare they displace me and hope to live in peace and quiet? I am the death of death, the fire that consumes fire. I am time that destroys time. Roused to fury, I reduce to ashes the sun and the fire god massed together. I render the lord of air utterly powerless. There is none who has any idea, though faint, of my might. Akampan, the unshaken, shook with abject fear at the sight of the infuriated Ravana and blurted over folded palms, Lord, I speak the truth if I'm promised safety and protection. His prayer was granted. He took heart and said, Maharaja, Dasharath has a son, Rama by name, of unparalleled beauty and grace. In the prime of youth, with mighty shoulders like mad bull, with long and powerful arms, a hero to the tips of his fingers, he is ever crowned with fame, power, wealth and valor. And it is he and no other that dispatched to the halls of death Kara, Dushan and other Rakshasas at Janasthan. Thereat, Ravana hissed forth like a terrible serpent and cried, Akampan! Was it not Indra and the Devas who backed Rama at Janasthan? Then Akampan began to describe upon the might and excellence of Rama. Lord, Rama shines in ineffable splendor of spirit. The first and foremost of all bowmen, all Astras, human, divine and infernal, obey his lightest behests. Indra and his hosts are nothing before him in battle. He has a brother who is his match in strength and valor, with large lustrous eyes slightly tinged with red at the corners. With a mighty voice like war drums rolling, he outshines the moon in her full. They are a well-matched pair, even like fire and storm. It is Rama that has destroyed Janasthan, and no other assisted him in the work. Nay, think not that the Devas were there with him. The gold-banded arrows that sprang into existence from his bow like huge serpents swallowed the lives of the Rakshasas in sport. In mortal fear, these sought to hide themselves under other forms, but Rama fronted them in every one of them. They hid themselves anywhere, in any object, but Rama was there before them. They sought to escape by many a secret and unknown path, but Rama barred their way. Now I have finished my account of the destruction of Janasthan. Then Ravana sprung up, exclaiming, This moment I go forth to make short work of Rama and Lakshmana. Nay, dread lord, replied Akampan gently, I pray yon lend an ear to my appeal. Hear me while I describe, as best as I can, the strength, valor, and wonderful deeds of Rama. Brahma, Indra, and all others dare not face him in his wrath. His fame as a hero resounds through the infinite worlds. His shafts can stem the tide of a torrent in flood. He can scatter to the winds the 9 sacred planets, the 27 constellations, and other luminaries. He can upraise the globe as it sinks under the waters of the ocean. He can shatter the bounds of the ocean and engulf the worlds in the great waters. His arrows can still the quiet, the roaring billows. He can cause the five elements to be absorbed into one another and bring about universal dissolution. That supreme person of infinite power, the Lord of manifold perfections, they call him Rama in his mortal guise. And he involves and evolves the countless worlds in the past kalpas, all through a slight exertion of his will. I know that pride unutterable fills your heart to think that you and no other are crowned with 10 heads. But Rama has myriads of hands, heads, feet and eyes. He pervades the universe within and without. A nice comparison it is between the Mount Meru and a gnat. Dare you dream of opposing your puny self to his infinite might? Have you not heard how Namuchi, Hiranyakashipu, Bali, Shambhara, Hiranyaksha, Mali, Sumali, Malivan and others fled before his wrath in utter dismay? Perhaps you think that all these joined together might overpower him? But just tell me whether all the sinners in the world banded together could storm the heights of Svarga? Have you heard that millions of blind men massed together saw as well as or better than one man with clear sight? Perhaps you think that you have at your back Indra and Devas who have been worsted by your son Indrajit. Well, the entire Deva and Asura creation arrayed together cannot hope in the slightest to approach him. But let me find you a way out of the difficulty. Listen with your heart and with your soul. He has a wife, Sita so named, in the flower of youth, graced by beautiful ornaments, but more lovely in her natural beauty, loveliness, grace, and faultless symmetry of form and feature. She is the very gem of a woman. Devas, Gandharvas, Danavas, and Apsaras cannot produce her equal. Why speak of mortals? If you somehow manage to entice Rama away from her into the trackless forests and abduct her meanwhile, Raghuvira, whose heart and soul is centered in her, will, I am sure, give up his life the next moment. Ravana approved of the plan, and long did he think upon how to lure Rama away from Sita. At last he exclaimed, "Akampan! Tomorrow at daybreak, I leave here for Janasthan all by myself, and I do not return without Janaki." Accordingly, he mounted a chariot drawn by mules that shone like the sun, and like the moon cutting her away through cloud banks, he coursed through the sky with the speed of thought to where Maricha, the son of Tataka, sat in his ashrama. The latter welcomed him with every mark of respect and affection, offered him a seat and inquired of his welfare. "Lord of Rakshasas, is it well with the subjects who call you king? You have not come here in hot haste and all alone, unless a mighty purpose impels you. I guess your heart is not in peace, but I cannot read the details of it." To which Ravana replied tersely, "Maricha, one Rama has destroyed in battle Kara and his forces who are stationed at Janasthan as the wardens of the marches. So find me a way to abduct his wife." Maricha lifted his hands in affright and cried, "Alas, what hypocritical friend and worst enemy of yours has incited you to make away with Sita? Who, disgraced and insulted at some time or other, and now all envious of your power and wealth, has poured this baneful counsel in your ears? Who has set himself to break the grand tusks of that mighty elephant, the Rakshasa race? Do you still doubt that it is your relentless foe that has advised you to abduct Sita? Who has put it in your heart to thrust your hands down the mouth of a deadly serpent and extract his poison fangs? Who is it that seeks to destroy you, root and branch, by hurling you into this abyss of wickedness? Who seeks to inflict wanton misery upon you and strike you on the head as you lie in calm and peaceful slumber? Rama is like the Gandhahasti, a species of elephant, whom other elephants avoid by the very odor that emanates from his body. His birth in the noble lion of the Ikshvakus is his trunk. His spiritual radiance is the ichor of Rut. His beautiful arms are its tusks, And dare you raise your eyes to him in battle? Rama is a lion among men. The impregnable position he takes up on the field of battle, like the Mount Meru, is his heavy tail. Your warriors are the deer that fall a prey to it. His arrows are its limbs. His sharp sword is its fangs. Now, let sleeping lions lie. Perhaps one may escape with life and limb from an encounter with a lion, if the fates be favorable, or if the moment be auspicious. But even that hope is out of question if you attack Rama. Again, Rama is a great deep. His bow is a fearful crocodile that roams therein. His quickness of hand in shooting is the deep mire therein that engulfs hopelessly everything it touches. His shafts are the never-ceasing billows that swallow every object in creation. Fierce battle is the waters of the ocean, and there lives none to tell that of his having crossed it. Now, would you advise anyone to fall therein? O Lord of Lanka, crest jewel of the Rakshasa line, I entreat you with joined palms, put away wrath from you. Go back to Lanka, rest happy in the company of your wives, and let Rama live happily in the woods in the company of his wife. Thus did Maricha advise him out of the strong love he bore for Ravana. Fortunately for him, the Rakshasa king was convinced and took leave of his friend to return to his capital. Mangalam Kushlendraya Mahaniya Gunapdiye Chakravarti Dhanunjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.